Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews, beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show. And joining us on the Western Company of Texas phone line is our good friend Tom Pippins from Fox 6 in Milwaukee. And it is always a pleasure to catch up with one of our very dear friends of the show. Tommy has been doing the program for, I don't know how many years. I'm not going to date you, Tom, but you've been on our program for quite some time.
Big E, I know the highlight of my day is going into my Twitter account, which I still think is what birds do, twiddly-dee, twiddly-dumb, but that's what they want us to do these days. So the old man goes on there and sees that beautiful picture and that great smile, and I read about the family, and it's a highlight, and it's always just a pleasure to be with you.
It is so sweet to talk to you, too. Tell me, Tom, you know, a lot has happened in the offseason when we focus and talk about college football, specifically in the Big Ten Conference. Jason Peter, of course, is on our program, very well-known former player at the University of Nebraska. Talk about the realignment happening in the offseason, the addition of Nebraska, and kind of what is the pulse up there as far as with the little shakeup that happened this past summer?
I think people here are absolutely ecstatic, be it media, be it Big Ten college football fans, or you name it, certainly the teams themselves, because Nebraska brings so much power, you know, so much of a great reputation, and they are being welcomed with open arms. You have divided into a couple of divisions, so people may not be playing one another as often as they did, but they will maintain the great rivalries, even though Ohio State and Michigan, I believe, are in different conferences. They will still have a game at the end of the season for all the marbles, or end of the regular season. Usually it is for all the marbles, although it hasn't been in the past with Michigan being down, and yet I think Rich Rod has got that program going. But overall, it's just going to be fantastic. And I know, if memory serves me, the first game that they play as a Big Ten member will be at Camp Randall Stadium in Madison against Bucky, the Badgers of Wisconsin, and Brett Bielema.
What a beautiful segue, because let's talk about Wisconsin and give us an update on the Badgers. I think the biggest question mark that a lot of folks are talking about is Chris Borland. What's the update on him? Is he going to miss the rest of the season with that shoulder injury?
Yeah, he had that left shoulder, Biggie, surgically repaired, and he banged it up in a game earlier this season, and then he did it again this past weekend when they barely squeaked by Arizona State in Madtown. And they've determined that he should be redshirted and out for the season. This is a loss of great proportion. This young man, I have heard him mentioned in this is going to sound like total overstatement. We sportscasters don't do that, do we? But Troy Polamalu, Kevin Green, people such as that, at his level now, in college football, they say he had that kind of an impact on the Wisconsin Badgers. So versatile, such an athlete, that this young man could play about any position you wanted, including quarterback, but he was such a great game changer and playmaker. I think this takes the Wisconsin Badgers perhaps from a BCS team to a team that would be on the outskirts at, let's say, 9-3, 5-3 in the conference. I know that, again, that sounds like an awful lot to put on this man, but I've heard it said from reliable sources, 44 was that good, is that good, and they certainly hope to get him back. It's a great, great loss.
Well, it's interesting, as you talk about just some of the star talent, players that the Badgers have sent to the NFL, what Owen Daniels, Travis Beckham, what Garrett Graham?
You betcha, absolutely. And, you know, backup quarterbacks as well have hung around for a while, and I just think that you talk running back and you have to look again to John Clay. This young man has had 9 straight games of 100 yards or more, and 32, who weighs about 265, 270. He's still getting into shape. He had both his ankles cleaned out during the offseason. But that's what Wisconsin does, and they're going to have to run it and run it well. They're missing a couple of key receivers who've been nicked up. Nick Toon with a toe, and then David Gilreath, who suffered a frightening concussion earlier in the season, and I'm not sure exactly when he'll get back. You know, Wisely now, they're so careful about these concussions as opposed to the old days when you get your bell rung and you go back in there a couple of plays later. We've seen it in the pros as well early in the 2010 season. So I'm a little bit concerned about this team maybe being up and down. Ohio State would certainly seem to be the class again. Their defense has allowed just couple of TDs in 3 games. Terrell Pryor has been very, very good, although a little bit inconsistent. And yet when you look at a Michigan, Rich Rod has his quarterback, this young kid, Denard Robinson. He's averaging over 400 yards of offense a game so
far for
the Wolverines.
Let's talk some more about Wisconsin. Of course, they're coming off such a big win. I'm not sure how you would classify that, you know, against Arizona State, but they really did. I think what I took away from that particular game is they just showed terrific balance with their running and with their passing.
Yeah, I agree with that. Scott Tolzien, Wisconsin hasn't had a great quarterback, maybe since Ron Vanderkellen. Big E, I was a kid then. That was like the 1800s, I think. But Tolzien is, for the most part, a good decision maker. He's cool and calm and poised there, and they have just enough. They've got in Lance Kendricks from the Milwaukee area, tight end, who's outstanding. You know, their defense has been good, I think. It's been a little bit suspect at times. We talked about the loss of Borland. They have a young man named J.J. Watt from Milwaukee High School in this area, west of the city of Milwaukee. He's been terrific. He gets to the quarterback. So we expect big things from Wisconsin, and we don't want to take anybody for granted here, I think, as Badgers fans, but everybody's pointing to October 16th. It'll be an evening game. The Buckeyes come to Madison to play Wisconsin.
And, of course, who are they playing this weekend? Who's on the schedule?
It's Austin Peay. Look out! Look out for the Governors. You never know what's going to happen, Big E.
Well, and, you know, the thing, too, that's so true about college football is that you can't, you know, rest on your laurels, that you can't have complacency. You got to be prepared on any given night. We think just back, what, a couple years ago, Appalachian State, what did they do?
Absolutely, to Michigan. You said it. And as Brett Bielema said, look, they line up 11 on 11. They have some pretty good players. They have lost a lot from last year. But the bottom line is these upsets happen, and the Badgers have not looked real great in the so-called preseason leading up to the Big Ten. They were fortunate to escape Arizona State in Madison when a young man named Jay Valai came in and blocked the extra point, 20-19, I believe. But it just is it's something where Wisconsin's still finding itself a little bit. But you'll take 3-0. You hope to improve every game and get set for the Big Ten opener, which I believe is going to be at Michigan State the following weekend.
Okay, but we got to talk about Michigan State because, of course, hours after a larger-than-life comeback victory against rival Notre Dame, head coach Mark D'Antonio suffers a minor heart attack. And if you saw pictures of him, I mean, he almost looked just yellow-gray in those pictures. You could tell that something was really, really wrong. What are folks saying up there in your part of the country, Tom?
Well, I think that there's a lot brought on about the stress of college football coaching, college coaching at the big-time level, basketball as well, but we've seen it before, and I think we'll see it again, where just so much is put in. If you take a look, E, at someone like D'Antonio, he's in good shape. You know, this is not a man who's 350 pounds, and I do think that the wear and the tear, and not only physically but emotionally and, you know, sleep habits, you name it, it can happen. And he came off a very stressful win at the last second there against the Irish, and that was frightening. And thankfully, he is doing better, they say. Doesn't seem to me as if there's a timetable for his return. But I think it's something that, you know, we saw with Urban Meyer at Florida, another man who looks like he could get out and play still, and a fairly young fella. And he had some health issues as well. So it's a price that's paid. Everyone looks at the high risk, high reward. Well, I think part of that risk is that it can be a health risk. There is a lot of stress, at least as stress goes, in major college sports, which admittedly have become a big business.
You're listening to the voice of Tom Pippins. He's with Fox 6 in Milwaukee. And as we pause here for just a moment, we want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. And you can email us at info@eradiosports.com. Tom was so kind. He mentioned my Twitter site. Tom has Twitter too, so you can also add some nice tweets his way or send that his way. As we talk about the stress of the coaching profession, I mean, Tom, you've been a journalist, a sports journalist for so many years, even, in fact, worked at ESPN for a time. How much has, you know, college football changed? I mean, we know it's 365, but what kind of hours are these guys putting in every day?
Well, I think even in the last 20 or 30 years, Big E, not that people didn't work hard prior to that, absolutely not. I don't want to try to indicate that at all, but I do think that when you've gotten into these conferences and teams moving all over the place, as we've talked about, and the amount of money that these football programs make and bring in for athletic departments, these coaches really are CEOs. Think of everything. And you,
true.
You were a big-time athlete. You have an idea of what these coaches have to do, managing all these young men and managing a coaching staff and booster clubs and speaking engagements and get with Barry Alvarez, his boss, as Brett Bielema has to do. And he's a young man, too, one of the younger men in the coaching game. You don't see too many Lou Holtzes out there, or certainly Joe Pa, who's a total anomaly, but yet I think that Paterno has a lot of help with him. He's directed a lot of that out to other soldiers. I think that the hours in the film room, if you put everything together, it's just, I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel sorry for the spouses, because, you know, when would you ever see your husband? Gosh.
I think they have to be as understanding as can be, and they normally are. I know when we had Tom Crean here as Marquette's coach, who, as you know, went on to Indiana, he's married to a Harbaugh. So certainly Joni understood the situation. The Harbaugh family is well known in coaching circles, father, brothers, you know, and Jimmy and John. But that doesn't make it any easier when you're raising up a family. And I think hopefully many of them know what they're getting into. But still, it's very, very challenging. And you make a great point. You're also, in most cases, married and a family person. And
right.
So somehow you got to make time for that. I know that Dom Capers, the Packers defensive coordinator, there are legendary stories about this fellow who, when he was head coach of the Carolina Panthers, would sleep constantly in the film room, never go home. They were up all hours, they took cat naps, and then they went back at it.
Incredible, incredible. Okay, Tommy, we're about done with our time here. We did want to ask you a final question. Give us a pulse on the Big Ten Conference, and how are they doing, and how are they viewed nationally so far?
Well, I think nationally still, Big E, they may be just a little bit below the radar. Again, from that national perspective, your wonderful listeners out there, I think there is one super team, Boise State notwithstanding, and this is a Cinderella Hoosiers type story that may end up playing for the national championship, but they've got that schedule to contend with. Alabama is probably the great team, but Ohio State is the class of the conference. I think Wisconsin has a major chance getting them at home on the 16th of October, but I would expect that they're going to be right up there at the top. Iowa is good, but they have some blemishes. They've suffered a loss, Kirk Ferentz and company losing to Arizona. Penn State has a good young quarterback in Borland. They played Alabama pretty well. They have a fabulous defense, but as is the case most every year since Jim Tressel came aboard, I would think you'd have to put the Buckeyes up there and certainly Wisconsin in that upper echelon. Michigan State's a good team. It'll be a test for the Tigers coming up, and that's the way I read it. I think you got to watch out for those Buckeyes.
And, you know, you mentioned the Buckeyes, Ohio State versus Eastern Michigan. Also talked about Boise State, Oregon State. That'll be an interesting matchup, but we're in Horn Frog country down here, Tom, so you got to give some love to TCU.
That's a good team, and you know, against BCS teams, the Big Ten so far, he just 7 up and 5 down, 26-6 overall early in the campaign. So I say good, but I don't say elite level. It's football country where you are, pal. We're good, but we're second fiddle. I won't tell too many people that. Walk, you know.
Well, having a lot of fun down here in the great state of Texas, right here in the heart of it in Fort Worth. And Tom, thank you so much for joining us. Always a pleasure. Next time we have you on, perhaps in the offseason, we can talk some about your Brewers.
Thank you so much. Very best to you and your family and your radio family as well. You are the class of that area, and I'm sure people know it by now.
Oh, blessings to you. Thank you. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.
The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell is the biggest names in sports.
Delivering the insight
you won't find anywhere else.
Anywhere else.
Like TCU head football coach Gary Patterson.
Texas A&M great R.C. Slocum.
And Big E's regular guest of ESPN Radio, better known as the Double Nickel, Jason Peter. The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Miss one episode and you miss the game.